Today's shir is Masecht Bava Metzia Daf Kuf, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Machla Parah B'Chamor. If somebody exchanges a cow for a donkey, I'll give you my cow and you give me your donkey. V'yolda, now the cow has a baby. V'kena Meicha Shivchosai, and similarly if somebody sold his Shivcha, and she V'yolda, and she gives birth. And Zayim Ha'atshalayin Mecharti, the seller says that the birth of this calf, the birth of this baby, was before the sale took place, and therefore this calf, this baby, belongs to me. And the buyer says that these births only took place after the sale took place. Says the Mishnah, the halach is yachloiku, they should divide the calf, they should divide the baby. Rashi points out that why in the case of a para does the Mishnah use the word hamachlif, that the kinyan was a kinyan chalipin, and by the shivcha it was a kinyan kesef. Explains Rashi, we need to have here a kinyan that the actual item wasn't actually handed over, because if the item was transferred from the meicher to the kaina, then there would be no question what happened. So therefore by a shivcha, where a kinyan kesef is a valid kinyan, our Mishnah refers to a situation where the buyer gave the seller kesef, but didn't actually take physical delivery of the shivcha, and now we have a question, when was the baby born? However, in the case of para, a kinyan kesef is not a valid form of kinyan. Furthermore, if there were a kinyan meshicha that we discussed in the previous year, it would also not be a question, because if meshicha was done, then we know exactly what happened. So the Mishnah had to come up with a kinyan that is a valid kinyan by animals, but leaves itself open for this question, where and when was this baby born? Furthermore, point out the Rishonim, that our Mishnah, we had a discussion in our Masechta back on Daf Mem Zayin, if the Kinyan Chalipin is done with Caliph Shalkaina, with Caliph Shalmakna, and if the Halach is that it's done with the Caliph Shalkaina, then he certainly had to give him the Paro. So how do we not know what happened? Answer the Rishonim. There are actually two forms of Kinyan Chalipin. One is the kinyan that we refer back to a pasuk in Megillas Rus. Mezois lefnim b'Yisrael al gulav al tmura sholof ish naloi, which is sort of a symbolic kinyan. And by a symbolic kinyan, we have to actually have the caliph shalkayin or the caliph shalmakna. However, our kinyan is a old-fashioned barter. I'm exchanging my para for your chamar, and the halacha is once I take the chamar, the para, no matter where, what, it becomes yours. But then the question that the Rishonim speak about is that obviously the price of a para that's not pregnant is not the same as a pregnant para. So why don't we say that the price should be an indicator of what was the intention of this deal. So the Miri explains that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that Shimon, that the seller told the buyer that he's selling him a certain cow. He did not stipulate in any way that the cow is pregnant, and therefore that can't be taken into consideration. The Shita says a different answer based on a Ramach. He says that if it was clearly understood that a pregnant cow is what to be sold, there's still grounds for this dispute, because certainly there are three types of cows. There are cows that are not pregnant, there are cows that are pregnant, and their crowns that already had the baby. Certainly, those three categories, the French have different values. A cow that's not pregnant is worth the least. A cow that's pregnant is worth more than a cow that's not pregnant. And a cow with its baby is worth even more than a pregnant cow. So yes, the seller is obligated to give the buyer a pregnant cow, but he's not obligated to give him a cow that already gave birth. And therefore, if the seller now wants to keep the baby, he will indeed not just be able to leave the buyer with the cow that's not pregnant, because the buyer certainly bought at least a pregnant cow, and he'll have to give him another pregnant cow. But the seller is willing to do that because a pregnant cow is worth less than a cow that already had its baby. And the buyer says, no, I bought the animal when it was pregnant and the baby was born in my domain, and therefore I keep the cow and its baby. Continues the Mishnah discussing. Hayla beis avodin. Somebody had two slaves. Echad gadol v'echad katan. One is a large slave and one is small. They came beis sodus, and somebody has two fields. Achas gadol v'achas katana. A large field and a small field. Halakayach Omer, the buyer says, God l'kachti, I purchased the larger slave or field. Fala Omer, and the seller says, I don't know. So Halakha is, Zocha begodl. The buyer is entitled to the larger one. Hamaych Omer, on the other hand, if the seller says, Kot m'charti, I sold the small one. Fala Omer, and the buyer says, I don't know which one I bought. Then the halacha any yedeya, then ain loy alakotni is only entitled to the smaller slave, the smaller field. So the simplest way of explaining the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is teaching us bari v'shema, bari adif, and we go with the person who makes the certain claim. However, the Rishonim point out that we on daf tzadches discussed that Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan did not subscribe to the concept of bari v'shema, bari adif. So how are we going to explain our Mishnah? So some Rishonim explain our Mishnah similarly to the way the Gemara did on Daf Tzadiches, that it's going to be a situation, they're going to explain that a Mishnah is referring to a situation on Metoich Sheni Yochel Shava Mishalim, that the person who has to make a shvua, it will be a case where somebody will have to make a shvua and he's unable to buy to make the shvua, and therefore the halacha is that he has to pay, that he can keep it. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that, as we're going to learn soon, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Sumchis, and Sumchis, these Rishonim suggest, certainly subscribes to the concept of Bari V'Shema, Bari Adif. Continues the Mishnah, Zayim Magadol, if the buyer says that it was the largest slave of field that you sold to me, the Zayim Makotan, and the seller says, I sold you the larger slave of field, Yishava Amaycha Shakotan Machar. So he has to swear that that's what happened, and he doesn't have to, and he will prevail. In a case, says the Mishnah, with Zayim Ani Yedeya, Zayim Ani Yedeya, both can't, don't know for sure what happened, the loch is, Yachloiku, they divide. Ask the Gemara going back to the first case of the Mishnah, where the baby was born, and there's a dispute between the buyer and the seller, when was the baby born? Before or after the sale? That the Mishnah said the halachi is yachloiku. Ask the Gemara, amai yachloiku, why is the halachi yachloiku? Lechse brishos demand kaimai. Let's see exactly where is this calf or baby currently. And the other person should be in the category of Amoitzi Mechaveroi, all of Haraya, that we know throughout Shas that he prevails. Answers the Gemara, Am Rav Chibar Oven Am Shmuel. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation by Medes Bagam. It's standing in an open area that isn't that doesn't belong neither to the seller nor to the buyer. And similarly, Shifchanami, the Kaim Basimta, it's standing in an alley that doesn't belong either to the buyer or the seller, and that's why we can't rely on that to be a proof who should prevail. And as the Rishonim point out, the Gemara could have also said that the animal or the Shifcha is in a Rishus HaRabim, which also doesn't belong to any one individual. However, the Gemara didn't give that explanation because it's unlikely that they would be standing in a Rishus HaRabim. Ask the Gemara, but why not rely for Nukma Cheskas Tamar Kama? Why don't we rely on the person on the that it belongs to the seller, that he should be the one that gets it, because we always rely on the Marakama. And there's a Machloikis HaAchroinim, why we rely on a Cheskas Marakama. Some, the Pnei Yeshua explains that Cheskas Marakama is similar to a concept that we find other places in the Shas called Chazaka de Mikoro, which means, for example, if we have a woman who's an Ashes Ish, and then we have a question if the get she received was a valid get or not, we rely on the Cheskas Marakama says that if she was previously an Ashes Ish, she still is an Ashes Ish. That's how the Pnei Yeshua explains. Other Achroinim, the Kuntras Asfakis, and the Shari Yosha, say the Cheskas Marakama is a concept of a Muchsik, that we say that the person who is holding on to something is the Muchsik. Ask the Rishonim that even if the Gemara wants us to rely on a Cheskas Marakama, but don't we have going against that Cheskas Marakama the fact the animal was muberis, and that we should rely on that chazaka? So some explain that cheskas marakama is stronger than a cheskas muberis, and others explain we don't have a cheskas muberis because now that we have the question in front of us, the baby has been born already, and therefore we don't have a cheskas muberis. So therefore, ask the Gemara, why when we have this issue in our Mishnah, don't we say, v'nukma cheskas tamara kama, v'levi idach ha-moitzi me'er olav araya? Answers the Gemara, ha-mani sumchasi. The Tan of our Mishnah is sumchas, that says that whenever we have such a dispute, the halach is, mamen ha-mutl b'sofik, cholkin b'loy shvur. And as a machlokes, we show him how to understand what the Gemara means. Because some Rishonim have the word Ella put into the Gemara before Hamani, and according to Sumchis, we don't have to rely on a situation, we don't have to interpret that our Mishnah is referring to a situation that it's the Agam or Besimta. Just Sumchis's opinion is always Yachloiku, and that's the Pshat of our Mishnah. Or another opinion is that we don't have the word Ella. And Sumchis also is referring to a situation where it's be'agam or be'simta, because Sumchis would agree that if one of them were actually holding it, there Sumchis would agree that that person who's actually holding the animal, even though typically Sumchis holds Yachloiku, will agree here that the one holding it would prevail. And actually, the Pnei Yeshua says that's the way to understand the Gemara. The way to understand the Gemara is to understand how far does Sumchas take his opinion of Yachloiku? Will Sumchas always say Yachloiku? Or will Sumchas only say Yachloiku if there isn't one person actually holding on to it? But if there's one person actually holding on to it, even Sumchas will agree that he prevails. Ask the Gemara, Eimedam Sumchas, when did Sumchas say his halacha of Yachloiku? In a situation of Shema v'Shema, when neither party is quite certain. However, in the case of our Mishnah, it's a situation of Bari v'Bari. Did Sumchas still say his psak of Yachloiku? Says the Gemara, Amrav, Rav Barafuna, in. Amish Sumchas afilu v'Bari. Sumchas's position of Yachloiku is even in a situation where both of them are certain. Rav Amma, Lailam ki Amma Sumchas Shema v'Shema. Sumchas only said his psak of Yachloiku when the parties are not certain. Ava bari v'bari, in a situation of bari v'bari, lo amar, he would not say yachloiku. V'tani, and we have to understand that the case of our Mishnah is indeed such a case, that za'oi m'shema ad shloi m'charti, the seller isn't quite sure, and he's saying maybe the baby was born before the sale took place, and similarly the buyer is saying maybe the baby was born only after the sale took place. Ask the Gemara Tanan, we learned in the last case of our Mishnah that if both litigants aren't sure, the halach is yachloiku. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Rava, according to Rava, we could understand the Mishnah, mid the Seif v'shem v'shema, just like the Seif is referring to a situation where both parties aren't certain, we will interpret that the Reisha is also referring to a situation of Shema v'shema. El Rav Bar Huna, according to Rav Huna, Dama in Amas Sumchas Afil Bari V'Bari, that Sumchas says his psak even in a situation of bari v'bari, and that's the way to interpret the first case of the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, hashta bari v'bari. If in a case where both parties are certain, the Mishnah is teaching us on based on Sumchas' position that yachloiku, so why does the Mishnah have to repeat and tell us the case of yachloiku by shem v'shema? If we say Sumchas holds yachloiku by bari v'bari, he certainly holds Yachloiku by Shema V'Shema. Answers the Gemara, Imishem Ha. If this is the entire reason you want to refute Rav's opinion, that's not really such a strong kasha. Because we could explain the Mishnah that Tana Seifa L'Gluya Reisha. The Seifa helps us understand the Reisha. That Rav says the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. So the light timer, don't in fact make a mistake and interpret that the Reisha is referring to a situation of Shema V'Shema. Avil Bari V'Bari, were it to be a situation of Bari V'Bari, there, the Halach would not be Yachloiku, because there, Sumchas doesn't hold Yachloiku. Rather, Tan is safer. Now we understand the Mishnah as follows. The Sefer is referring to a situation of Shema V'Shema, so it's obvious, Mechlal, that the Reisha is not talking about Shema V'Shema. Rather, what is the Reisha referring to? A case of Bari V'Bari. And yet, the Mishnah teaches us, based on Simchas' opinion, Vafila Hachi, the Mishnah teaches us that the Halach would be Yachloiku. Ask the Gemara another question. Tana. And as the Mefarshim point out, it's interesting. The Gemara's question now is from an earlier case in the Mishnah than the previous question the Gemara asked. Because the Gemara's previous question was actually from the last case of the Mishnah. So shouldn't the Gemara first ask this question, which comes from a part of the Mishnah which is earlier? So say the Mefarshim that the derech of the Gemara is that it first will ask the easier question and then ask the more difficult question. The previous question, as the Gemara was very able, successfully, to defend the opinion of Rabbah, was the easier question. And the Gemara mentioned that question, and now the Gemara starts speaking about a more complicated question. We learned in the Mishnah, Zayim HaGodl V'Zayim HaKotn, the buyer says, I bought the larger slave, I bought the larger field. V'Zayim HaKotn, and the seller says, I sold you the smaller slave, or the smaller field. Yishav ha-meicher, shekotn mocher. The seller should swear that that's indeed what happened. Bishlam l'Rava the Omer. So according to Rava that holds, the ki amas sumchas shem v'shema, that sumchas' din of yachloiku is only a situation where the parties aren't quite certain. Av v'bari v'bari loy Omer. In a situation of bari v'bari, sumchas will not say his psak. We could understand the Mishnah not saying in this case Yachloiku, because we don't follow the Psak of Yachloiku in a case where both are certain. However, ask the Gemara. El Rav Barafuna, according to Rav Barafuna's understanding of Sumchas' opinion, Domer, in Omas Sumchas Afilu Bari V'Bari, that Sumchas said his Psak even in a situation of Bari V'Bari. So the question is, Amai Yishava Meicher, why does the Mishnah paskin that Yishava Yichloiku Mebaile? Shouldn't the Mishnah, if it's following the opinion of Sumchas, and we say that Sumchas says his opinion even in a case of Bari v'bari paskin yachlaiku. Answers the Gemara. Ma'ida sumchas heikha de ikka shvu de raisa. Sumchas agrees that in this case, since there's a chiyya shvu me de raisa, the halacha is we don't say yachlaiku, kribin al maim lakaman, as the Gemara will say on Amud Beis. And I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim, why indeed sumchas does not say yachlaiku in a situation where the halacha is yeshava, as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara. This is a situation of a might of a mixus where there's a chiyah shvuah mederaisa. One pshat that I saw in the Rishonim is that the Shita quotes the Ravid saying this, that in a that sumchas cannot agree that one party should both have to swear and pay. And therefore, since, as I just said, there's a chi of shvuah medaraisa here, we can't have a situation that there should be both a chi of shvuah medaraisa and a chi of tashlumin. Another pshat that I saw from the Ramban is, what is the basis of Sumchas's position of yachloiku? The basis of Sumchas's position is that when we have a question, we divide it 50-50. But if here one of the parties is going to have to swear, so it won't be a fair division, because one is getting half without a shvua, and one is getting half, but he's also had to make a shvua. That's not completely fair. It's not completely half and half, and therefore Shumchas doesn't say, under such circumstances, yachloiku. So the Gemara continues, as we said, focusing on this halacha, and that's, as we said, the first one said, that's why we spoke about this case, because we're going to spend a lot of time speaking about this case now. We spoke about where somebody had two slaves, a large slave and a small slave, a large field and a small field, and there's a debate between the buyer and the seller, which field was sold, which slave was sold. So we learned that he should swear, and we just explained why should the seller swear, because it's a might of a mixus. Ask the Gemara, how can we call this a situation a might of a mixus? The case of might of a mixus is always where somebody says, I owe him $100 and I agree that I owe 50. So 50 is part of 100. Here there's a dispute. The seller says, I sold the smaller field, and the buyer says it was the bigger field, or by the same, by the slaves. So they're not talking about the same item. That isn't moed v'mixus. V'oid, furthermore, ask the Gemara, Halachu, isn't this a situation of Halach that we discussed back on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, where our halacha is that if there's a claim against me and I agree to that claim, I just give that what I agree, and that's not called moed v'mixus. So here, I the seller will give the buyer the smaller slave, the smaller field, and it's no longer moed v'mixus. And one more question, asked the Gemara, v'oid, don't we have a rule, the ein nishbar al avodim, that a shvuah isn't made by avodim? And here, the Mishnah is referring to the situation of avodim. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav, we need to interpret the Mishnah that's referring to not the actual Eved, but we're talking about the May, the value of the Eved. The May Eved Godel and the May Eved Cotton. And there's Machlaikus Rashi in Taisvis how to explain this Gemara. Rashi explains that what happened here is, I gave someone money, I gave a Shliach money to purchase an Eved, to purchase a slave, purchase a field on my behalf, and the Shliach didn't fulfill this job, so I now want back my money. The shliach, and I say, I gave you money to which $200, which is the value of a large avid. And the shliach says, no, you only gave me $100, the value of a small avid. And the same by a field. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos is bothered with that pshat, because according to that pshat, our Mishnah is referring to a shliach and a mishaleach. And there is no indication, says Tosfos, that our Mishnah is referring to a shliach and mishaleach. Therefore, Tosfos explains that the case here was that they agreed between themselves that even though the buyer gave the seller kesef, that there has to be a shtar to finalize the deal, and the shtar wasn't written, or it's a place where that is the minig, that the kinyan is not chal until a shtar is written. And now, they, before the shtar was actually written, or other Rishonim explain that they connected the deal to a tanai, and before the tanai was fulfilled, they want to back off from the deal. There was no kinyan yet, and now there's a dispute between the buyer and the seller, what, how much money was given, the value of a large eved, the value of a large field, or the value of a small field, or a small or a large field. The may eved, cotton, the may sodik, doyle, the may sodik, tana. Vishmul disagrees with this pshat, for the Rishonim explain, if that was the way, if that pshat in the Mishnah, the word the may, value of eved, value of the field, should have been in the Mishnah. The fact that that word isn't there, it must be that he doesn't accept that pshat of the Mishnah, and therefore he says it's referring to a situation b'tayana ksus eved gadol, ksus eved katan. They're arguing over the garment of a large slave or the garment of a small slave. Omer saw the gadola, or the buyer claims that he purchased the produce of a large field, and the seller says, I sold you Omri the produce of a sadek tana, a small field. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way to understand the Mishnah, we have the same question we had before. Ksus, if we're talking about a garment, mashatana loy haidaloi, or mashahaidaloi loy tayanoi. I, the seller, say that I sold you a small garment. You, the buyer, say that you bought a large garment. But a small garment and a large garment are two different distinct items. That isn't the case of Maida Mixis. Maida Mixis, as I said before, is $50 of $100. Says the Gemara, it is, we could interpret that we should have a Maida Mixis by Xus K'amar Rapapa B'dayalfi. Hakanam B'dayalfi. What does Dayalfi mean? Machloikus Rishonim. Some Rishonim say that Dayalfi means that they used, that their garments were made up of patches of cloth. And the dispute is, what kind of a garment was sold? Was a garment with four patches, the contention of the buyer, where the seller says it was a garment made up of three patches? Another way of understanding the Rishonim say that they're arguing over a piece of fabric, where the buyer says, you sold me a piece of fabric that's 4 yards long, and the seller says, no, I sold you a piece of garment that's 3 yards long. That's one piece of fabric, and therefore it's a situation of Maida B'mixas. Ask the Gemara, Kashalei L'Rav Oshia, asks Rav Oshia on Shmuel's interpretation, Midik Sus K'tani? Does our Mishnah speak about garments? Evid K'tani. Our Mishnah speaking about the Evid. How do you insert and understand that the Mishnah is speaking about garment on the Evid? Ella Omer, the Mishnah is referring to a situation where they're arguing both on the slave and the garment. And similarly, the Sodebamrea, they're arguing regarding the field and the produce on it. So sin, and the halacha the Mishnah is teaching us is that since there's going to be a shvua, a moida b'mixas on the garment, Gilgal Shvua teaches us that once there's a Shvua on the garment, there's also going to be a Shvua on the Evid. Once there's a Shvua on the produce on the ground, there's going to be a Shvua on the Karka itself too, because of the concept of Gilgal Shvua. Ask the Gemara, but how can we say that there's a Chiyuv Shvua on the garment, that should engender that not only is there a Chiyuv Shvua on the garment, but it will create a situation of Gilgal Shvua even on the karka? The garment is in a situation of Maida B'mixas. He says it's a small garment. He says it's a large garment. Akatik Sus, Mashatana Loi Haidaloi, or Mashahaidaloi Loi Tanai. Answers the Gemara as we said a moment ago. Amra Papa, it's referring to a dialfi, which is a situation of Maida B'mixas. Ask the Gemara, but according to this understanding of the Mishnah, Kashlei L'Rav Sheshes, so according to this understanding of the Mishnah, what the Mishnah is teaching us is the din of Gilgal Shvua. Ask the Gemara, Zoykikin Asul Hashminin, is the purpose of our Mishnah here to teach us the halacha of Gilgal Shvua? Tanina, didn't we already learn And this halacha in a Mishnah in Masech the Kedushin. Zoyke ken nechassim she'en la nechrayis as nechassim she'esh la mechrayis. We know nechassim she'en la nechrayis means metaltlin. Nechassim she'esh la mechrayis means karka. We even though normally you don't swear, and we're going to discuss this more in a moment, on karka, but if there's a claim regarding metaltlin, which is also connected to a claim on karka, once you have to swear on the metaltlin, you will also have to swear on the karka. Because of Gilgal. So we already learned the concept of Gilgal Shvuah. So why does our Mishnah have to repeat that concept? Ela Amarav. Sheshes, the Gemara looks for new interpretation of our Mishnah. Hamani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Remeyihi. It follows the opinion of Remeyah. The Amar Avdik Matatlan Dami. That he holds that we do treat Evdin Avodim like Metatlin, and therefore, just like you swear on Metatlin, you swear on Avodim. Ask the Gemara, that still doesn't change the original question, the other question that we asked. Vakati, Mashatana loy hoydaloy, or Mashatana loy hoydaloy. The seller says, I sold you a small slave. The buyer says, I bought a large slave. This isn't the situation of Maida B'mitzis. Answers the Gemara, Savalak Ragamil, the Tan of our Mishnah follows the opinion of Ragamil. The Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah, Tanoi Chitim, Vahayda Sirim, if I claim you owe me wheat and you admit that you owe me barley, Potter. It's not considered a situation of Maidu Mixis, a Mishnah Masech Teshvus, and actually the Gemara Masech Teshvus goes on to explain that not only will I not have to give you Chitim, because I never admitted that I owe you Chitim, but even the Sirim that I'm admitting to, I won't have to give, because by you not claiming that I owe you Sirim, it means that you were Meichel on the Sirim. And certainly not a situation of Maidu Mixis. However, a Gamliel does consider it, Mechayiv, he does consider it a situation of Maidu Mixis. Similarly here, Rabbi Gamliel will hold a large Eved and a small Eved, a large field and a small field, qualify to be considered Maidu Mixis. We asked another question. Isn't this a situation of Halach? Where since I was ready to give you the small slave or the small field, it certainly isn't a case of Maidu Mixis. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Avdi Dekat Taliyadei. The seller cut the hand of the Eved. So the small Eved that he's agreeable to give is no longer the Eved that was sold either, even according to his position, because it's mutual, the Eved got injured. And the Sadr was a situation where the seller, Chafa Babar, Sikhus Maris, dug holes in it and depreciated it, ruined it, and therefore it won't be considered a situation of Halach. Ask the Gemara, the basis of Rav Sheshes' interpretation of our Mishnah is that it follows the opinion of Rameya, and that the opinion of Rameya is that Avodim are treated like Metaltlin. Ask the Gemara, Vermei Ipchishle Shminala, Rameya actually shows us that he treats Avodim like Karka. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, in Masech Bava Kama, Gozel Beim Veskino, if somebody stole an animal and the animal got older and it's no longer as strong and it isn't as valuable as it was when you stole it, or Avodim Veskinu, or somebody stole slaves and they got older and not that valuable, the halacha is Mishalim Kishasa Gzela. He has to pay at the value that I had at time of robbery. He can't say Harei Shalchala Fanecha because it's not the same as it was when it was stolen. Remeya Oimer, that just like by real estate, the halacha says, everybody agrees, that if somebody steals a piece of property and now he's ready to return it, even if the value of real estate dropped, he could say Harei Shalchala Fanecha. Remeya says Avodim are treated like karka, and by Avodim, even though I stole the Avodim, and now it's later, and the Avodim depreciated in value, I could say, Halei Shalchala Fanecha. So we see clearly the Rameya says that Avodim are treated like karka, not like Metatlin. Answers the Gemara, Haloi Kasha. Kinemachle Rabbi Avuah Vatani. Rabbi Avuah had a reverse girsa of this Bryce of this Mishnah. And according to his version, Ramei Oimer Mishalm Kshas Agzela, that Avod, the Karka is treated like Avodim, and both of them you pay that avodim are treated like metaltlin, and you pay at the value of the gzeila. It's the chachamim who say b'avodim hareishal cholaf anecha. Ask the Gemara. El mamai the kusavra mei makshina karkal evit. Gemara is assuming that just like the Mishnah says, we swear on karka. Ramei would hold that we swear regarding avodim. And my eved nishbon, just like by eved we swear av karka nishbon. But ask the, and that's why in the Mishnah the halach is we swear on both. Ask the Gemara, who says that we equate karka to avodim? And just like by avodim we swear, by karka we swear. Maybe Ramei will hold av eved hud nishbon. Dafka by avodim ashvu is an order ava karkaloi, and Taisu says the reason the Gemara makes such an assumption that we shouldn't treat karka and avodim similarly regarding shvuah is based on a brisa that the Gemara is going to quote in a moment. Says the Gemara loisalka daitach. There's no reason to say the Rameya distinguishes between avodim and karka regarding a shvuah. The Tanya, because we learned in a brisa. Similar case to the case that we learned in our Mishnah, where somebody exchanged a cow for a donkey and a baby was born. Somebody sold a shivcha and she had the baby. One says in certainty the baby was born in my possession and the other one remains silent. Zocha. The one who makes the certain claim prevails. Just don't know. Yachloiku. Zayim Rishusi. Zayim Rishusi. Yishav HaMoicher Rishusi Yodai. He has to swear that it happened in his possession. Because Allah is Lafisha Kala Nishbon Shvatayra. Nishbon Veloy Mishalim. You always make a shvua, and that absolves you from paying. And that's the case of Meridim Mixus also. A person makes a shvua, and he doesn't have to pay. V'chom Maimrim. Ein Nishbon Loy Alvodim Velak Kakos. La Machlal. Isn't it obvious from this brisa that the chacham hold that a shvu is not in order neither by avodim or kakos, and Ramei Sov and Nishbon both on kakor, on karka and eved, not like the Gemara wanted to assume that we treat karka and avodim differently and Nishbon al avodim, but Ramei will agree that ain't Nishbon al karka. Says the Gemara, Ramei, that explanation of the brisa is not necessarily the correct one. Dilma, the way to understand the Rabbanan comment, the Rabbanan's position to statement to Rameya is as follows. They're saying to Rameya, you agree that by karka a shvu is not made, and they're challenging Rameya that that you should agree by avodim also that a shvu ought not to be made. And Teda, and the Gemara brings a raya that karka indeed shvu is not made. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Shvuos, Ramei says some things are treated like real estate and some aren't. Vein Chum Moedim Loi. The Chum don't agree. Ketzat, where there's a dispute between two parties, a shomer situation, where the owner of the tree, the mafkid, says to the shomer, Yud gefanim ta'unus masati lach. I gave you 10 trees with the grapes on them. V'la amar, and the shomer says, no, en al chamish, only gave me 5. Ramei mechayiv, Ramei says that a shvua, that the shomer has to take a shvua. V'chama omrim, kol mechubel karka reiku karka. And since it's karka, a shvua is not made. V'am Rabbi Yosef Rav Chanina, and Rabbi Yosef Chanina explains this machloikis, that the brisa there, the Mishnah there, I mean, is referring to a situation of grapes that are ready to be cut. The mass of Ramei is of the opinion that the Betzuras Dam Yudah Locha looks at them as if they're no longer attached to the ground. Or Masov and the Chum say, since they're physically still attached, Lavka Betzuras Dam Yudah and the Karka, and you don't make a Shvuah. What is Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina teaching us? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is teaching us that everybody agrees that a shvu is not made on a karka. The question is, if these anovim ha'omdis libotzer have the status of karka. So we see that Ramei clearly agrees that by karka you don't make a shvu. So how can we say that our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rameyer and a shvuah is made on karka. Even Rav Meir agrees that a shvuah ought not to be made. The Ritva says that when the Gemara said that they're arguing by anovim, I'm the slibotzer, their machlaikis is in a situation where the grapes still have something to benefit from being connected to the ground. But if the grapes are so ripe that they have nothing to benefit from being connected to the ground, everybody will agree that they're in the status of metaltlin. Tysus also goes on to point out that even though here we're saying that grapes that are undisli botzer may not have the status of karka, that is a question regarding a shvuah. But Tysus says, regarding a situation, let's say a Shabbos, where you're not allowed to cut something from the ground, says Tysus, certainly, even if the grapes are undisli botzer, there would be a situation of chilul Shabbos. Tysus also goes on to say that we know that the halacha is that if somebody passes away and he owed money, that you could only collect the halacha is from Yisoyim, from Karka, not from Metaltlin. Everybody will agree as far as this halacha is concerned that Anovim Ha'omis Libotzer are considered like Metaltlin and cannot be collected from Yisoyim. The question that also comes up that I saw the Paiskim discuss is, let's say a woman has long nails. Would those nails be considered a chatzitza for Hilchus Tefillah? Some say, since it's Oimdus Likotzer, and therefore they are a chatzitza. However, the Pais can point out that if the woman is growing her nails long for style, or she only has her nails cut professionally, they would not certainly midaraisa be considered a chatzitza. El Olam, Gemara goes back to explain that the Mishnah is the way Reb Oishe explained. That's talking about the Eved with the Ksus on him, and they're disputing the Ksus and the Eved. And since there's a Chiyiv Shvuah on the Ksus of Maid of Amixis, Zoykikin, Gilgul Shvuah comes to teach us that they'll also have to swear about the Eved, and the same goes with the Karka. We asked the question, do we need our Mishnah here to teach us the concept of Zoykikin? Didn't we already learn this concept in Masech the Kedushin? Itzrich. There is a need to teach it to us here. Kusal Kedat Chamina, Ksus Eved Ke'evedami. That the Ksus on an Eved should be considered like an Eved. And the Oimrei Sadekesadadami. The produce on the field should be considered like the field itself. And therefore, there is no Shvu on them, Kamash Malon, that they are considered separate items, and they are subject to a shvuah, and not only are they subject to a shvuah, they could create a situation of gilgul shvuah. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, Zeimeni Yedeva, Zeimeni Yedeya, if both parties don't know what happened, the halacha is yachloiku. Hamani, ask the Gemara, whose opinion is this? It follows the opinion, says the Gemara of Sumchasi, to Omar, Maman Amot B'Sofik Chalkim. Ema Seifer, if that's the way we're going to understand this is going back to the Braisa, so let's continue. Zayim Rishusi. V'zayim Rishusi, so the halach is, Yishava Amoich Shabashusi Yolda, or ask the Gemara, or Rabbi Rafuna the Omer. According to the opinion of Rabbi Rafuna that we said at the beginning of the Shir, that Omer Sumchas Afil Vibari, that Sumchas holds that even in a situation where both parties are certain of their claims, Sumchas holds Yachloiku, so why does the Braisa say, ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Rav Huna, that Yishava Moicher, shouldn't the halacha be Yachloiku Mabayim? Answers the Gemara, as the Gemara said earlier in the Shir, Moid Sumchas agrees that Heichadik is Shvu Deraisa, with a Zachiv Shvu Medaraisa, such in this case, because it's a situation of Moid of a Mixus, so therefore, the halacha of the Shvu is made. And regarding the question, isn't this a situation of halach? We again will have to explain this to Kotel Yada, that the owner injured the Eved, and therefore, like Rava said, and it's not a case of halach. Says the Mishnah, Hamoich Hazeis of Leitzim. Somebody sells his aleph trees for the wood. The buyer is buying the tree for the wood on it. Vasav Apachos Marius Lassah. But the tree, before he cut the tree, produced less than a revius of aleph, Rael Shabal Zaysim. The owner of the tree keeps those aleph. However, Asur Revius L'sa, if they made a Revius of a, to a Sa, Za'ay Mezaisi Godlo, and that is dispute between these two parties. One, the purchaser says, it was my tree that created the olives, and I should keep them. And the other one says, it was my property that caused, it was my land that caused these olives to grow. And as the Rishonim point out, even though we've just finished learning in the previous Gemara that the opinion of Yachloiku follows Sumchis, this is not the same Sumchis. This, everybody agrees that since there's a suffix, both of them have legitimate claims, so the halach is Yachloiku. Continues the Mishnah. Shot of Nar Zasef. If somebody, if a river carried somebody's olive trees, and deposited them on top of somebody else's field, and now they were left there and they grew olive, in fact, there's an interesting chidah. The chidah says that the Gemara says that kol hamagadlu yosim says the Chidah. Just like in our Mishnah, we're learning that both parties contribute to the growth of the olive, and therefore they both have claim to the olive. Similarly, if somebody is the biological parent of someone, and another person raised those children, so they both contributed to development of this individual, and that's why Kilu Yolda, their partner is Kilu Yolda. Ask the Gemara. The first case of the Mishnah was in a case where it produced a smaller amount of oil. Ask the Gemara, Hechidomi, what exactly is the Mishnah's case referring to? Id Amale cuts la altar, if the seller told the purchaser to cut them down immediately, and he didn't, then I feel approximately revius nam lebal karka, then the oil should belong to the owner of the property. If, on the other hand, the purchaser told the seller told the purchaser, id amale cut the imus bois lockets, whenever you want cut, I feel a revius nam lebal zaisim, then even if there's a large amount of oil, shouldn't it belong to the owner of the tree? And to the Gemara, like Tzrich, the Mishnah is referring to amale stoma, where he didn't specify. Pachas revius, if it's less than a revius, like kapti inchi, and the seller says to the buyer, you could keep it. Revius, but already so much oil was produced, kapti inchi, and they divide it. Amr of Shimon Pazi, revius sh'amru, when we make a calculation, if it produced as much as revius, chutz m'raitzah, we have to deduct the cost of picking the olives and pressing it, and only after all of that we still have a revius, then the halacha will be yachlaiku.